Welcome to episode 104 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live from Microsoft Ignite back in September. This is a show about Office 365, Azure, and the IT Pro and end user side of life, where we discuss a topic or recent news related to Office 365 or Azure and how it relates to you as an IT Pro. In the last of our Ignite interviews, we have Mark Cashman back on the show to discuss the integration between SharePoint and Teams and what the future of that integration looks like.
Scott Hoag here at Microsoft Ignite for the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro podcast, sitting down with Mark Cashman from Microsoft. Mark, why don't you give everybody a quick intro? I think we've had you on before, but the role's changed a little bit, so always good to do a refresher.
Yeah, coming up to Ignite, my role is really the same. After Ignite, I'm focusing a little bit more on what we do on the inner loop. So leading up to here, I focused on everything we do with sites, all site types you can imagine. Team sites, communication sites, hub sites, how people plan for their intranet, both for collaboration and communication. And I'm on the marketing team, so I'm a technical product marketer, so in charge of all the demos and partner relationships for people, how they positioning and selling our stuff. And we have now this kind of new connection to Microsoft Teams. So after Ignite, I'll focus a little bit more on that inner loop. And that is the connection with when people are leveraging Teams, that's Microsoft Teams, what's the value that SharePoint Team Sites brings into that? Because when you go and create a new team or a new Office 365 group, or you're in SharePoint and creating a new site, the end result is the same. You're creating a number of apps that people can use to collaborate together, and you have a list of people that are working together, owners and members.
Yeah, let's kind of dive into that a little bit, because they are different experiences. We have pages and lists and libraries on one side, content.
Yep.
And on the other side, with capital T Teams, you know, the big purple one,
yep,
we still have more content. And some of it's the same content, but then there's chat as well. So there's a little bit of a fine line to walk there and kind of understanding where content lives and then how it's accessed and how you can collaborate across these multiple workloads.
When you think about the content that you create, we like to think of SharePoint as the content service that delivers that experience of content to multiple endpoints. Microsoft Teams is one of those. Outlook is another. OneDrive is another. OneDrive is built on top of SharePoint.
It is.
And now there's a really nice, rich, common files experience from OneDrive to navigate to a team site document library. At the end of the day, though, it's really where is the end user and what are they trying to accomplish? Not all the time are people working with documents. Not all the time are people working with news posts. Sometimes they're just literally chatting with each other. But when they need to chat and reference a document, campaign, a proposal that they saw, they can do it in a really rich way, but leave the document where it was. So we want to avoid version hell or version madness.
Yeah, it shouldn't be a burden on the user to understand which one's the right one or what that version of the truth is. And that's kind of one of those big ECM problems is what was the document lifecycle and how did we manage it and what's going on? And that's been smoothed over quite a bit in workloads like SharePoint Online and then, you know, the overlying services that come on top of those, whether it's Teams or an Office 365 group, leveraging it for storage or a OneDrive or whatever it happens to be. It's all just SharePoint at the end of the day. So as these improvements roll out and we say, don't worry about versions, we'll turn versions on for you.
Yep.
And it's just there.
But what you want to avoid, so versions in SharePoint are managed and easy to work with. What we also want to avoid is if you email somebody a version, and now you've got a version in the Exchange repository. Mm-hmm. If I email you just to somebody who's outside the company, now they've got a version in their whatever email client or system. Maybe they put it on their desktop and whatnot. And that's where you get multiple copies that aren't being managed. So if we can share it as a link, that's easy. In Outlook, you can do that now. If I put it in Teams chat, I'm just referencing and saying, hey, I've got this new proposal. Paragraph 3 is a little bit a concern. The customer wants us to change the language here. Could you take a look at it? And I should be able to just send them that link in that context for them to be able to go into the document, the same one that I'm working on, not the version in their inbox, not the version on their desktop. And once they make that change, whether we do it in real time or near real time, that source of truth is the same. I'm just using or referencing or maybe actually even editing it from a different place. You can edit a document in Microsoft Teams, but ultimately the document you're editing is stored in SharePoint.
Lives in SharePoint. Maybe we're editing online through Office web apps or whatever it happens to be. Yeah, one of the things I see there and I run into a little bit is kind of being in the space and a consumer and proponent of the technology, you tend to live it and breathe it. So yeah, we'll put everything in OneDrive and we'll send you a link. And, you know, I know, you know, sometimes I send people a file or, and same thing, Outlook, it's stored in my OneDrive and it just looks like an attachment in Outlook when you send it now, but it's just a link to the file and the permissions are updated. And they'll email me back and they'll say, you know, can you just send me the attachment? It's like, no, you can download it. You can do that. It's a little bit of an interesting thing from an end user side where you might even have to go out and say, okay, users, here's a new feature, a new thing that you might not have seen, and we want to encourage this behavior. And by the way, as a part of us encouraging you, we need you to encourage other people and kind of carry that downstream. I think I saw something earlier in the week with some of the the capital T teams team, saying, you know, just venting on Twitter, you know, I hate it when people send me attachments. Like, you know, I feel the pain, but sometimes people just want attachments. Yeah. So we've got to educate them and get them to move on a little bit or treat new things, new technologies in new ways.
Well, when people put things side by side and they ask the questions that a lot of our MVPs do wonderful sessions on, and certainly we all answer the same questions, what do you use when? And the thing is there's no one tool that solves everything, and there's no shame in the throughout the life cycle of a document or a content of any type, or working with different people, internal, external, public, where you need to put things might dictate a couple of new different ways that you use that technology. And I think a good example is, for me, the life cycle of creating a blog post. I actually started in OneDrive. And I do my work and I send it just as a link to my engineering team. Hey, could you check the technical details? Do you like how
starts
it reads?
Starts in a Word document.
Yeah, document. I start it now. Actually, we just announced you can start that Word document from office.com. If you do it from there, you click Word icon and start a new document. It'll automatically get stored in OneDrive. You don't actually choose where to save it. So anyway, you start in the right place. That's the good thing. But you're not stuck there. As I start to go through the cycle of our blogs, I would involve the blog team, and they want to have a grammar review. Sometimes legal will look at it if it's a certain feature. Our PR team likes to look at it before it goes out the door. And there's a review process to that. And typically by that point, that file needs to be somewhere else with a little bit more policy and flow.
Well, we walk through those kind of multiple circles or contexts. You know, yep. I always thought about it as, you know, like an archery target. And, you know, you're the red bullet in the middle. And we've got me, we in context, or, you know, like we with process, or now we're a group, right? We went from me to the team with something else. And it's gotten really good. Everything's really flexible. And even some of that functionality for moving files is built in now. Or you can maintain the reference in yours and make a copy of it and then say, you know what, we're ready to go. And that new team knows to, you know, that new organizational team, they know their process and how to dive into it. So it's kind of like you said, it depends a little bit.
It does.
What that is. And everybody needs to understand that. You might have a way of doing it.
Yep. I either adhere to somebody else's process because that's just how they've established it and they kind of own the end result, which is a published blog, versus if I have my personal blog, I might do it a little bit differently. But then there's other scenarios. And I think the questions that people ask sometimes center around files. Where do I put my files? How do I work with other people on files? Should I do it in OneDrive? Should I do it in a SharePoint team site, a document library? And then what about Teams? So the choice is, who do you want to own the document? And does that change throughout time? Then I really like to get to the conversation where it's like, okay, that's files. That's all good. But what about the sites themselves? What about pages, lists, power apps that you build on top of those lists and libraries?
All the other stuff.
All the other stuff that isn't files. And there's a real rich experience that we're building in SharePoint in online in Office 365 where you can build out beautiful pages and bring in services and make them very dynamic experiences, probably better than you can do in email. Try in an email pasting a Power BI dashboard with a little bit of text context, maybe a series of images that just relate to what you're talking about, and then maybe a video that summarizes it and wraps it up.
Yeah, HTML and emails has its limits.
You know,
it's still good for the tracking pixels and the spam, but
yep. But imagine now the things that you can do. It's now easy to share that page. If you publish it as news, it's going to flow out into the internet, you know, on your behalf. And there's just a lot of rich things you can do to build experiences that help people not have to go to 10 other places. When we think about then moving that into Teams, the nice thing is you can bring in the whole page and have a discussion that's private to your team. So it might be something that was published literally on the intranet by your central marketing group. You don't own it. You can't edit it. You can't do anything to that page. But there's a lot of value in bringing it in and having a discussion around something that you piqued your interest or a question that you had, or, hey, I'd like to copy this. Let's do this for our campaign that same way. And that's just a private discussion. That's not comments on the page. That's a discussion in Teams.
That's chat.
That's chat. Yeah, and yeah, that is clearly when somebody asks, is it Teams versus Team Sites? There isn't really a chat mechanism in Team Sites. You might have some ancillary things like, you know, you can send an email attachment and have a discussion around that in the email thread. But to have something that persists, that when anybody joins the team, they get a couple of things. They get the chat itself. They get to search it. They get to go back up in time and find out what was going on. If there were people that were at mentioned, they'll be pulled into the conversation. If you're new to it, you'll be able to read the document. That's the other thing, is if you want people to be able to have access to content and they're a part of the team, then you put it in the team document library, which happens to look like a tab in Teams that says files. That's backed by SharePoint. And when they click on that in a thread that they found their interest, they won't be blocked. They'll be able to view it. If they really need to, they can edit it or leverage it, you know, for their other things. But then step beyond pages, there's lists that people really have built business applications around. We're now having the ability to, when you bring a list or a library or a page or a full site into Teams, it's the full fidelity of what you would expect in SharePoint. And we hope that people, if they started in Teams, stay in Teams. We hope if they start in SharePoint, they stay in SharePoint. Or they move around as they need to throughout the cycle of the project and just not have to be bouncing around across multiple apps and context switching. We always told that that's really tough.
Yeah, no, I live it and breathe it every day. It's a difficult thing.
When it comes to email, Outlook and Office 365 are fantastic. But sometimes there are things you'd like to do that aren't implemented. Sperry Software creates Outlook add-ins and Office 365 services that fill in these gaps. For instance, there are Outlook add-ins to automatically print emails and or attachments, save emails to PDF, send out recurring emails, or how about a warning when you're going to do a reply to all instead of a normal reply? Find these and many more email productivity solutions. Get started today by visiting www.sperrysoftware.com/cloudIT.
So just to kind of clarify, when you say bring those into Teams, bring a list or a library, we're talking about tabs inside of a team and a channel in a team.
That's
right?
Correct.
To have those surfaced in that unified experience and browser.
Tabs can be transient. You know, they just can be useful when needed. You're not bringing in content, and when you remove it, it's not gone. It's still out there, and you can bring it back. But it's also dynamic. So if you put it there, and there are things on the page that have obviously changed, like a dynamic web part, like the highlighted content web part. You add a new piece of content that fits that criteria, it'll just show up on that page. But to do it, you just click the plus button. There are two options for SharePoint, either add another document library or add a page or news, because news are pages, or lists. So let's say you want to add a list. You would go in, click the plus button, click the SharePoint tile, and then a list of your pages and lists would come up. Choose your list, and whatever you did in that list, it could be a simple 10-item list, but just great contact information.
Yep. Yeah, I just tracked contacts for, you know, I'm in sales and I want to track external org. Or
it could be a really robust list that's managed by the whole team. Let's say 50 people are entering new items, hitting certain criteria that changes the color of a column. We have column formatting, or changes the color of the row based on certain choices in a dropdown or a number that somebody entered. Pictures, you know, there's lots of power that you can do with lists, and have that flow in when you choose the list. That full fidelity of the list shows up. Super easy to add. You're not taking it out of SharePoint. You're just referencing it from Microsoft Teams. So adding a page or a list as a tab in Teams is about as easy as it is for me to finish that sentence.
Yeah. No, and the nice thing, or the thing that I really like about that, is back to kind of what you said when we started, it's the experience based on the user and how they might want to consume it. So if they're used to browsing through SharePoint, well, they can still go to, you know, contoso.sharepoint.com and search for it. And, you know, we've got unified search and all this great stuff, and it's there for them. Or they can open the Teams client on their mobile device, or, you know, they're on a Mac or whatever it happens to be. And I do get this Electron app can come up, and it supports native notifications and all the good kind of stuff. One of the interesting things that I saw earlier this week too, that I was hoping we could kind of cover, is, you know, there's a little bit of the life cycle of these sites and what they are. So when is it a SharePoint team site versus an Office 365 group? One of the things I think we talked about at SharePoint conference a couple months ago was groupification and kind of groupify all the things. And there was some things in your announcements this week, and they did some demos in some of the sessions for, I guess, what I call Teamify and kind of bringing that over. So as you know, organizations are sitting down or somebody's thinking about business process and context for what they're doing, I'd like a team. You don't have to necessarily go over to the team's client or the team's web app and say, all right, create a new team, or do I have an existing group? Did I groupify it? Can you talk a little bit about kind of how that button and the context for that one?
If I can just step back a little bit, I'll sort of answer. I think you had two questions buried in there, but the one obviously focused around the team.
I probably had like three or four. It's been a long week.
I just like to paint the picture because it's kind of a fun thing for me to do visually in my head and then try to translate it out because I hope to provide clarity to it, but also to kind of paint the art of the possible. So imagine you've got a classic team site on premises, and you're thinking about moving to the cloud, or you're in the middle of a migration or whatnot. As you move that, you could move from classic to modern by just establishing a new modern team site in online and then migrate your content.
Yeah,
you could
also just pull over the lists and libraries and pages or whatever.
But if you've got a home page that's got some customization, you certainly could bring it in, just a little bit of migration support from classic to classic. Whichever way you do it, at some point you're a classic site in SharePoint Online, or you're now modern. But if you are a classic, or you've been in online for a while as a classic site, you had mentioned the ability to add an Office 365 group to that classic site. We call it Groupify, or I guess other people have called it that. We've adopted it because it's just a little shorter. But let's say you want to connect a new Office 365 group to an existing team site. Now it's just a button in the gear. And once you do it, you'll get a nice new modern homepage. You'll get a connection to the other applications like Teams, like Planner, like Shared Inbox, a Shared Calendar. Those will get all provisioned for you. The site will remain the same. So if you had content, document libraries, lists, even subsites, those will get carried forward. They'll be there. Only thing is subsites won't get a modern look and feel. But if you were to create a new subsite, we don't encourage that. But if you were to, those would be modern today as well. So now you've got a group-connected team site. And possibly it's got Teams, or potentially you might have started when Teams didn't even exist. You might have created a new group-connected team site before Teams existed, or you just may not have opted to have Teams as a part of that experience.
Yep. Wasn't enabled, or we hadn't onboarded yet.
So pretty soon people are going to start to see in the bottom left of their group-connected team site an option to create a team. That's the capital T. So from a team site to create a team, basically, all it's going to do is it's going to go into your Microsoft Teams instance and create a new team that's connected to that team site that's also connected to the other applications that were already provisioned and connected.
Yeah, and I think that's important for everyone to recognize. It is not destructive with the content. It's additive and building on top. So look and feel or kind of primary interaction or primary entry point might change, but you're just lighting up additional functionality along the way with the existing entitlements and licensing and other things that are already available just by being a consumer Office 365.
Yeah. And then the last little mile of it is imagine you're a team of 10, 50, 500, and you are in a larger organization where you've got something of a division level where you've got multiple teams that need their own space, like a team site. They're chatting in their own Teams channels, but they are working as a division. So there's certainly a lot of connectivity or connective tissue that they want to have so that at some parent level, they can all share content. They can all have visibility into these sites that they have access to. If they don't, it's okay. They just get the access denied or request access. But that's when hub sites come into play. And there's a lot that you can do now with a hub site to, before a site is associated to the hub, you can require approval. When that site then does join and be associated to the hub site, you can push down specific requirements through the new site designs and site scripts so that you have to have, you'll do things automatically, like inherit the theme, you'll get a scoped search that will begin, but you can also push down other policies like a specific column that needs to be added and the request then for them to fill out and finish those details on certain lists.
Yeah, we want to be policy driven. So it's one of those things we run into a lot with user level controls. So security, like you said, do I have access to it? Or do I have the access that I'm supposed to have? Am I seeing the right things I'm supposed to see? And then kind of, I always talk about, like, you know, we're going to the bowling alley and we're in the kiddie lane, right? I want to put the bumpers up and give you as much of a guided experience as possible.
Yep.
And let's drive policy through the platform. So when the users come in, it's not so much a question of what am I supposed to do when I'm here? It's I'm here, now I can start working and get on with my day and get on with my life.
You got it. And we want, from the IT side of it, we want them to feel that it's a governable space all the way from everything we talked about, from on-prem into the cloud, even from a hybrid perspective. From an end-user perspective, we want to connect all these experiences to have them switch context less. And when they're working with files, working with pages, working with lists, working with the whole site itself, wherever they're doing that from, it shouldn't feel different. It may be a couple of different new user interfaces like Teams, so you learn the things that you can do. It's a pretty straightforward tool. But if you go left to right, just a quick summary is you, from a migration or just getting stuff into the cloud, you might think about groupifying, teamifying, and hubifying. And it really depends on how you want to organize your intranet. You have a lot of capabilities and flexibilities as IT or intranet managers. And from an end user perspective, it's just hopefully you've got the tools that you need to get your work done, to work with the people that you work on and work with and get things done.
And you can grow into that life cycle. It's not a, you know, we have to start at the end. It's like you said, we have the classic site and maybe we just go to a modern team site and that's okay. And then when you're ready for the next step and you want to explore some more, maybe go ahead and try that one out and see what happens.
And so, because here's the reality, this is a real short one. In online today, you could, as IT, create a classic team site. You could then modernize it without group connecting it. You could then connect it to a group and further add a team. And anything of the mix of those four elements in terms of that matrix is how you could configure what one team may need versus what another team may need in terms of the collaborative tools. They may need just simplicity, or they may need the full power because they really do span across a lot of projects, tasks, a lot of assets that are getting created and generated and moved through life cycles, and just information, being able to put a business logic on top of that with Flow and Power Apps based on either list data or data coming from outside that area.
Very cool.
Mover is a cloud migration company that specializes in moving your company's files from file servers or cloud storage like Box, Dropbox, and Google into Office 365. Their patented technology makes Mover the fastest OneDrive file migrator in the world. Moving dozens of terabytes of data a day is a breeze. Use Mover's free, industry-leading migration guides or ask for a managed migration and they'll take the lead. With Mover, all your data is secure and intact. Running completely behind the scenes, you don't lose time, money, or hair while you transfer. Scan, plan, migrate, report. Migrations that don't suck with Mover. Visit mover.io for more info.
One of the other things that kind of came into play a little bit for that kind of connectivity between the workloads, you know, we have the ability to get to maybe the tail end of that journey and say, here's a button to turn our, you know, our group into a team. It was having a little bit more connective tissue, not just from Teams back to SharePoint in the form of tabs for files, list, libraries, storage, all that good kind of stuff, but also having SharePoint sites be context aware and much more contextual for the users. So if they land in a SharePoint site, or that happens to be where they live, they're going to get a little bit of kind of a nudge to say, hey, there might be another thing over here. Have you checked it out? You want to talk a little bit about that one?
So if you're in the document library, certainly there's a default one for everybody that gets a new Office 365 group, or you create a team from Teams, the same outcome. And in that, there will be the default general folder, which is connected to the general channel. What we wanted to do based on some feedback we got was it was hard to tell which folders were connected to Teams and which folders were maybe generated from SharePoint because they were just additive and they weren't necessarily directly connected to a discussion channel. So now when you're in the SharePoint side and you would go into a folder, let's say like the general folder, you would actually get a badge visual that says go to the discussions. So you can see that it's a Teams connected folder. If you're at the parent level, just all documents and all folders inside of it, when you would check the particular folder or click onto it, you would see at the upper top the same thing, go to the discussions, and you would see kind of the purple color of Teams. So it's just raising awareness that it's a Teams connected thing. The last thing, if you really tried to do something that isn't allowed and is just something that we don't want people to get into trouble for, is if I tried to rename one of those folders. because in the context of people working in teams, there just isn't the way to do it because you're really in the folder per channel.
Yes, yeah, we still have
but
that
if you're at the document library, you can see all channel folders, right, in the at the parent level. But if I tried to go in and rename general, and I did it today in a demo, and I would type in generally just for jokes, and it wouldn't let me do it. And that's a good thing. You know, we want to keep people out of trouble where we know if you rename a folder, you can run into some problems. And the other big thing is certainly the sync button is now visible and usable in either the context of SharePoint or Teams. So sync is a huge value. We talked about it on the Mac.
I furthers that story of work where you're comfortable working or for the context that you need. You're not always going to need all of the bells and whistles. There are going to be people who, yep, I live in this experience and I do this. And it, like you said, across that team of 500 people, there are people who are just going to consume documents and that's all they need is the documents. They may never go in and chat on them. They've got comments and version history and at mentions and everything else within the documents themselves.
Our use of Teams, just as one example, I don't know if it's always the best thing to talk about. How does Microsoft use it? But for the marketing department, working with the engineering department, getting ready for Ignite, we had about 230 people that were pretty involved in getting ready in front of the show and behind the scenes. And so we have, of course, a Teams and a connected team site that we called Ignite 2018. And we had a number of channels for the booth, a number of channels for the session, a special channel for working with on Jeff's general session. And then some of the things just logistically that, you know, maybe not as many people were involved in. So we had a main document library. And in that document library, we had a number of folders that we had established for where to put your sessions, where to put the blog drafts, where to put FAQs and whatnot. And I will tell you, I decided to sync at the parent level of that entire document library. But on my PC, I only had the two presentations that I was doing always with me. You know how you can choose to say, always keep this on the yep. device? So I had two PowerPoints. And then I did it also with Jeff's PowerPoint so I could keep connected to what are we saying or how are we messaging that. And then I had two blogs, so I made sure to take those offline so I could continue to work with them. And then I took also, we had put together one deck that just had like all general slides we might all want to pull from that were kind of approved. Now, outside of that, doesn't mean that those are the only things in those libraries. We had about, I think, 65 sessions. And we had about 10 blogs and then all the supporting materials with imagery from our design team that we could use that was approved. And so I don't know what the right amount of content it was. I think it was in the 1 to 2 gigs. But the value was is I just chose to track what I was working on. And at any time I could go and get visibility of like, oh, Chris had a great slide.
You can see it.
I can see it. Yep. And so that's the files on demand.
If I want to pull it down, I can go ahead and pull it down.
So files on demand is for PCs. Now it's for Mac. And that means everybody's included. And my experience primarily was just on my desktop once I got that configured. But for the most part, you would have the same experience of accessing the files, seeing the files, needing to take them offline if you chose to. For a lot of people around the discussions, especially, you know, in the last couple of days, we just had a few fun things happen with our demo tenants based on some things that got out there. And so we fixed it. And, you know, but there was a really immediate chat going on, lots of referencing things. And we updated the documents that were in there for things that we did change, like passwords and whatnot. And it's all then available. And I could see the conversation. I wasn't really a part of the solution. I just got the benefits of, okay, new password, go in, now I'm fixed and fine. And I could see it happening. I could access where I need to. And if I need to reference back, what was that new password? I can go back in and grab it off of that document that they had updated.
Perfect. Well, I think we're at about time.
I have one more thing I just wanted to plug. These are real simple things because I'm really the wrong guy.
But I love the low-hanging fruit. Like, this has been a good year for... You know, it's not exactly mind-blowing, but it's like, it works.
Yeah. So I'm going to put my fake developer's hat on and really tout what the development team's doing for developers. So imagine you're building a nice web part for SharePoint.
I got to imagine really hard. I don't build web parts either.
So do I. But you're building a custom web part. You're using the SharePoint framework, and your intent was obviously to make it available in the toolbox for people to put on SharePoint pages or news or home pages of sites. If you do that, you can now bring that web part that you built with just a couple additional lines of code so that it works as a tab in Teams.
Inside of Teams, yeah.
So the whole tab becomes an app of however you built it.
So you can leverage that existing investment in SharePoint framework and getting there and not having to learn a whole new development model to bring forward the same customization and access to data over in the Teams client.
So that's one way. So you could always build just a page and put whatever web parts you want, bring in as a page. But now it's bringing in a full custom web part as a tab in Teams, just that web part. So it's a really nice story as far as the value of what you're building and the experiences where people can take advantage of it. Going the other way is we're actually also working on all of those tabs that you can put in Microsoft Teams. We have ours for SharePoint. There are some for Word, PowerPoint, Excel. There, of course, are a ton of third-party ones that are available. And what we want to do is enable those tabs to be brought in as page experiences in SharePoint. So think in terms of using a connector in what is effectively a tab in Teams to bring a tab as a full page app in SharePoint.
Right. So let's go ahead and I've got that page, like you said, with all the contacts, highlighted news, web part. It's got multiple sections, calendars, things like that. And now I want to bring over the context from the team. So again, we can see it in both places and interact with it where it makes the most sense.
Yeah. So our job is just to make it all work. What also we're working on is to make it easy for developers to not have to obviously build something twice. And when they're thinking, where is this going to be leveraged, or I want to make sure it's leveraged in multiple places, that's not a whole rewrite. It's just a couple additional lines of code. Again, if I'm saying that right, I'm not a developer. But to make it easy so that you can use what there is already value in Teams if you need it in SharePoint and vice versa.
Very cool. Yeah. I very much appreciate the time today. Where can people find you on Twitter? You do another podcast,
yeah.
The Intrazone.
So we've got our own podcast called The Intrazone, aka.ms/The Intrazone. And so we put out a podcast biweekly, and we talk to folks like you. We talk to customers. We talk to partners. And certainly sometimes talk to ourselves because we like to bring in our engineer team. But we cover a ton of different topics, and we try to be timely, and we try to be interesting, fun. And certainly that's out there, and I hope people can at least check it out and let us know what they think. You can always find me on Twitter. I usually like to give things away at the conferences. I like to let people know the news that we've made so they can go and read it and ask us questions about things that maybe weren't clear, or just share the excitement and have them share that out to people that maybe weren't able to be here. And that's on Twitter. I'm just M. Cashman, M-K-A-S-H-M-A-N.
Yeah, it's not Cash with a C.
It's not Cash with a C. That's another Cashman in Seattle. He's the radio host. But M. Cashman, I'm not hard to find. I'm the same M. Cashman at Microsoft.com if people have want to go through email. But definitely appreciate being on your show. Love what you guys do. You're way out of my comfort zone when it comes to IT, deep IT. But I do learn from it, and I appreciate you having me on.
No, excellent.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.